أسقط روزك أنتري تلبي أمرك يا رب. Amen. Well, that's beautiful. So I want to go to a scripture. You can put on the screen for me, swear. Jonah chapter number 2. Can everybody say with me, Jonah? Listen, if you think your life is bad, Jonah's is worse. Amen. So let's just read this verse. I want to get to this, and we'll see as the Holy Ghost leads. And I'm still a little bit chilled, and then we'll take it, and then we'll do as the Holy Spirit leads. Still got a lot of time. We'll be finished in time. But I want to pray for every, or like get time to lay hands on every person. And but especially tonight for deliverance, that God will deliver you out of any situation. Just read there with me on the screens. It says, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, now listen here, Jonah is representative of Jesus Christ going to the grave for 3 days, going into hell. Are you guys with me? He said, I will give you no other sign but the sign of Jonah, Jesus says in scripture. What he was speaking about was 3 days in the, I will give you no other sign but the sign of Jonah, that I will go 3 days into hell, 3 days into the belly. So he was in the belly of the fish, but listen here, Jonah literally thought he was in hell. You'll listen to this now. Listen, it says, and he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me, and out of the belly of hell. Can everybody say the hell? Hell has a belly, okay? So hell is a body if you study the scripture. I don't have time to teach on that. But this part of the belly, well, this part of hell was basically the belly. I mean, it's a very symbiotic type of picture. A fish did swallow Jonah. But spiritually, it speaks of hell. And it speaks of he literally thought he was in hell. He didn't listen. If you're in a fish's belly and there's acid and seaweed and whatever, and don't get into the sizes of the fishes. These were many, how many years ago, thousands of years ago. It could have been if scientists will tell you, with the story of Jonah, there was huge mammals and so on that were living there. But listen to this. He says, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and you heard my voice. And say with me, and you heard my voice. You listen, even if you go through hell, God is there to hear your voice. But I want to tell you how you cannot get delivered unless you go through hell. We have to come to a place of going through utmost hell. Deliverance comes and God is faithful to deliver you. Listen here. It goes on. He says, for you have cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and all your waves passed over me. Then I said unto myself, I am cast into your out of your sight. I'm cast out of the sight of God. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. So he's saying, I'm cast out of the sight of God. I'm in the deep of the deep, in the belly of the fish, at the bottom of the oceans. He speaks now of the mountains that he saw at the bottom of the oceans. Listen here, scientists just discovered recently that there's mountains under the ocean. But if you read the book of Jonah and the book of Job, you will see how they say there's mountains and hills under the ocean. Are you guys with me? Jonah saw it. So he says, listen, so he was in this place and he cried out to God. And he says, but yet I will look again at your holy hill. The waters came about me, even to my soul. The depths closed around me, about your weeds were wrapped about my head. Let me put on New King James for me on verse 5. I want to read this out of New King James. Verse 5. Is this New King James? Yeah. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around. Listen, this is his language saying, listen, the waters were all around me. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head like seaweeds around his head. Are you guys with me? I went down to the moorings, it says to the bottom of the mountains, which means that there's mountains under the ocean. The earth with its bars, listen here, the earth with its bars closed behind me. Can anybody say with me? Forever. For Jonah, he was in a place where there was no deliverance, no salvation. He said, I'm in this place forever. Listen, I can preach hell. You'll sit hot in your chair right now. In hell will be forever. This is a picture of hell. Are you guys with me? So Jonah said, listen here, the bars of the earth closed behind me forever. Which means that I can no longer return back to earth once I'm in hell. Forever. Say forever. And there's Christians that can go to hell. Amen? So, forever. He was in this, listen here, this is where Jonah was. forever. Yet you have brought me up my life from the pit. Oh, listen. Now, this is where I want to get into. This guy is in the midst of hell, in the deepest of the deep. And he says, yet you have brought me up my life from the pit. Oh, Lord, my God, he's lying. I don't know if I have you guys or not with me. Jonah's saying, listen, Jonah's in hell of hell, yet he's saying God has delivered him. It makes no sense. You're in hell, Jonah. Yet you say God has delivered you. He's saying, but yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Go for into the next verse. We'll get back to this. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. 8. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Say with me, I will pay what I have vowed. It is very important for us to pay what we have vowed. Now listen, I'll get into this just now. Let me try to explain it like this. Every tense that Jonah spoke in here, in the Hebrew tense, every tense is what we call the perfect tense, which means that it is a complete fullness. When he says forever, it is the truth right there. It is forever. It's not like past, present, or future tense. It is conditional. I mean, not conditional. It is right now present, but it is perfect tense. It speaks of a fullness of tense, which means that his prayer was final. This was the result of his life. I'm in the belly of hell. He was there for 3 days. I'm in the belly of hell, the deep of the deep. But then he says something powerful. Now, before we get to what he says, I will pay what I have vowed. Say with me a vow. I shared with with Lloyd or something, and I said a year ago, so I said to him, he was in a financial crisis. I said, make a vow to God. A lot of people don't know how to get out of a place of struggle. They might not even have money to give because their budget cannot contain it. They've prayed every prayer. They've fasted everything. Listen here. King David says, when you deliver me out of troubles, then I will pay you the vow that I have made. The way to get out of trouble is by making a vow to God, but by paying that vow afterwards. So if you say, God, I vow that I will serve you, my family will go every Sunday to church, that is a vow that must be fulfilled. If I say, God, I vow if you get me out of this trouble, because right now I cannot do anything. Listen here, you might be in the darkest of places. You cannot deliver yourself. But when you say, God, if you deliver me, say with me, if. God loves business. Listen, he loves to make a deal and to reason. And he says, so if you get me out of this, I will give you this. I vow to give you. I made a vow once to finance. I said to the Lord made a vow. Say to God, if he gets you out of that, you will tithe so much or you'll give so much. And God got him out of it and he gave it, I believe. But it's otherwise you'll be in trouble. But it's like with God. But it's a vow that must be answered because God delivers us on the basis of what we say we'll do. Or I make a vow that I'm going to get 1,000 people saved. Don't make something ridiculous like 1 billion and you're not an evangelist. Okay, so it must obviously be within reason. But it's something that will touch God's heart. And God is saying, listen, now I'm going and making a deal with you. I'll get you out of the trouble that you're in. But then you must pay my vow. Are you guys with me? Say prayer of deliverance. Listen here, I'm sharing secrets in this church that will deliver you, that will set you free. When I speak of impartation this morning, I shared on the secret of impartation this morning. And those who caught it will catch it. Those who caught it, your life will be changed just by that principle. Just by that principle, your life will be changed. Amen? Okay, so he says, go back to the interview, verse 6. I went down to the bottom of the mountains, the earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Jonah's prayer was, Jonah's situation was hopeless. He was at the bottom of the ocean with seaweed wrapped around his head. Yet, he says this, yet, despite anything that is happening right now, he got blinded to his circumstances and his situation, and he looked at God and he says, yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. Are you guys with me? Which means that he prayed a total contradiction to what was happening at that moment of time. This chapter's name is the prophet's prayer. Jonah's prayer. This was the prayer of deliverance he did towards God. Listen to me. Many of you are in a place right now tonight and you just don't know whether to go left or to go right. There's a prayer of deliverance. When you pray that prayer of deliverance, what is that prayer? First, Jonah said, he said, listen here, I see all this stuff. I see the waves are around me. My head is wrapped in seaweed. It's not like God didn't know his situation. God knew, but God wanted Jonah to come to a realization and say, listen here, I know I am in a mess. I know I need your grace. I know that I'm bound with addiction or bound with, I'm in the bottom of hell. It feels like I'm in hell itself. And when we come to a recognition of our situation and circumstance, that is when deliverance comes. Listen here, deliverance comes to those who are desperate. Are you guys with me? When you walk into your one-bedroom flat and you see your mattress on the floor, until you become frustrated and tired and sick and tired of that situation, God is not going to deliver you and you're not ready to be delivered out of that. But when you walk into that place and in your heart you're like, I just don't want to live like this anymore. I see myself at a better level. I see myself at a... Then you're getting frustrated. And listen here, deliverance comes at the place of our frustration. When I'm frustrated with my present situation, deliverance comes. When I am not, deliverance waits. So Pharaoh said these words. He said, God said to Pharaoh, tell Pharaoh that I will deliver him from the frogs today. And Pharaoh answered and he says, we will live one night more with the frogs. Do it tomorrow or something like that. Are you guys with me? We will live with the frogs one more time. Pharaoh became comfortable with his circumstances. Yeah, it's been a lot of frogs everywhere in all the pipes. There's a lot of demons, so, you know, I see you. You're sitting, you can't even look at me, you just look up there in the corner. Upset that you came tonight. Listen, he became comfortable with his frogs. And he said, no, tomorrow. When Christians become comfortable with their situation, deliverance will not come. Are we doing God a favor? Or are we falling on our faces and say, God, get me out of this situation. I cannot do it on my own. I cannot read my Bible. I cannot pray. I cannot do anything on my own. I need your grace. You cannot even maybe give 1 cent, but you can say, God, I'm going to make a vow. Listen, if you want to see God deliver you, if you're in a bad job situation, take my advice. Say to God in your heart, not as fake as in your heart, say, God, get me that job there or get me that promotion. And I vow to do this for you. And you'll see how quickly God will bring it. You'll be surprised. Within 1 week, you'll be like, man, but now you have to like pay your vow. And that's how most people get into trouble. Amen? So it's like he became comfortable. The Pharaoh became comfortable. Until you and I are not comfortable with our current present situation, state of being. Maybe you're laying hands on people and they're not getting delivered. Maybe you're praying for people, there's no miracles. Maybe financially is going wrong, there's sickness or this or that. Until you and I get sick and tired and frustrated of our current situation, we are not ready for deliverance. God will wait till the end of the end until we have found ourselves in the bottom of hell, in the belly of hell, crying out to him and making a vow to him. Jonah made a vow to him and crying out to him and begin to say, God, I'm beginning to give you praise. I'm beginning to give you worship. I'm not looking at my situation or my circumstances or anything. I might be in hell right now, but I thank you and I give you thanks. For what I need to give him thanks? He says, yet you brought me up my life from the pit. God has done nothing. God has done nothing yet. Are you guys with you? But Jonah saw the future. And as he prayed that prayer, he got spit out and vomited out right in the middle, right in the pathway, in the center of his destiny of God for him. It says here, let me just check. And the Lord spoke unto the fish. And the Lord spoke. Listen. How many of you know God sent the fish? Many times we think it's the devil and it's this God sent that fish to push you down to hell, to begin to make you cry out to him because he wants to see how desperate you are. And when you cry really out from your heart and you're broken and surrendered, the Bible says, then God spoke to the fish. It means the fish could listen. The Bible says that when Jesus spoke to the fig tree answered. Oh no, it says Jesus answered the fig tree, sorry. How does Jesus answer the fig tree? That means the fig tree had to speak to him. Are you guys with me? So it says, and the Lord spoke unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land in the middle of Nineveh, right there by Nineveh. I prophesy, even as you make a vow, or if you as you pray, or whatever you do, and you say, God, deliver me out of this current situation that I'm at. God will speak to your situation, circumstance. You might not know God's voice. I promise you, your sickness knows God's voice. I promise you, your situation, circumstance knows God's voice. I promise you, listen here, whatever is holding you down, whatever is holding you back, that thing understands and knows God's voice. And may God, may that thing, your circumstance, vomit you out right in the middle of God's destiny and perfect will for your life. Let me close off with this. Listen. Right on the dry land. Go with me to John chapter number 12. Verse number 23. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Can everybody say with me, glorified? Listen, the hour came for his crucifixion, yet Jesus says glorification. So he was looking at the biggest death, his most biggest battle that he'll face as man, not as God, as man, he'll face. And he says, my hour has come that I shall be glorified. I shall be, you know, and I'm trying to explain to you guys how he looked at a situation. Many of us looked at our sickness and we think, oh, we look at this and listen here, there's a glorification in your hour of crucifixion. So very, verily I say unto you, so he goes on, go for it to verse 27. Now, say with me, now my soul is troubled. Now first, before that, he said, the hour has come that I shall be glorified, but my soul is troubled. It makes no sense. It's like, my hour has come where I shall be made manifest. I shall be receive accolade. I shall be great. My destiny, my purpose is at hand. And then he says, he goes 2-3 verses later, he says, now my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Can everybody say with me, what shall I say? He didn't say, what shall I pray? He didn't say, what shall I do? He didn't say, what shall I study? What shall I work? He said, what shall I say? When I'm in my darkest hour, God looks at what's coming out of our mouths, because whatever's coming out of our mouths determines our value. Whatever comes out of our mouths determines our deliverance. What shall I say? Then he says, Father, save me from this hour. No. But for this purpose, I came to this very hour. Go for it to verse 28. Then he says this. He says, what shall I say that the darkest place is coming against me? Then he says, this is what I shall say. Father, glorify your name. Say with me, glorify your name. Jesus looked at the most crucial, most intense time of torture and death. And he says, what shall I say? That God will deliver me out of this? No. But I shall say, Father, I glorify your name. He looked at his situation and he made glory out of his situation. First of all, he says, so very, really, I say to you, the hour of my glorification has come, yet it was the hour of his crucifixion. It depends how we look at things, how we speak, what comes out of our mouths. Come on, are you guys with me? Then he goes on, he says, and then it says, Father, I will glorify your name. Say with me, then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. How many of you are saying to me, I want to hear the voice of God in my life? Begin to glorify God in your darkest hour, in your deepest, darkest, most crucial, most difficult hour. Then the Bible says, then a voice came from heaven. Then a voice came from heaven. Ah, listen. What say with you? What shall I say? Jesus said, what shall pass my lips? What shall I say? Not what shall I pray? Not what shall I fast? Not what shall I read in the word? No, 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 no. What shall I say? For he who says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and believe the things that he says, whatever he says, so it shall be done to him. Mark chapter 11, verse number 23. The whosoever shall have the whatever they say. I wish I knew this 10 years ago because my life would be totally different. But I only caught this revelation 3 years ago. But I can tell you, whatever your mouth say, you will have. The more you begin to train it, the more quicker it will come. You might say something now, in 2 years it'll come. I promise you. Then you will begin to be so trained that when you say something, in 2 weeks it'll come. I can testify so much, but I won't. Because people say I boast too much. I won't. I can just tell you what happened just the last few weeks. As I say something, it happens. To the degree, to the point. Are you guys with me? So it goes on. It says, verse 29. Go for it to verse 29. Therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Go for it to verse 30. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Verse 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Say with me, will be cast out. Now it goes on and says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he signified and he spoke of his death. Listen, when you and I begin to speak against our circumstances, when circumstances speak poverty, when circumstances speak sickness, when circumstances speak calamity, curses, family troubles, drug addiction, unsafe family members, whatever it is, you speak contrary that. Even though it is a crucifixion, you say, this is the hour of glorification. God is working. What shall I say? Shall I say, God, deliver me? Deliver me. Jesus says, no. I will say, Father, glorify your name. May all glory, I don't care if I'm in the pit of hell, in the belly of a fish, under the ocean, by the bottom of the mountains, in the belly of hell, I will lift up your name and I'll begin to cry out and say, glorify your name. When you do that, God will speak to your circumstances and your circumstances will vomit you out right in the middle of your destiny. When you do that, you will hear God's voice out of heaven. When you do that, the ruler of this world will be judged, and every enemy that came against you will be judged. When you do that, Jesus Christ will be lifted up, and he will draw all men towards him. It is by what we say. Just raise your hands wherever you are. Just raise your hands, man. La broska ta ander kelidele bene marosha ka ta ander zere.